Sure, is from Psalm 46 today. We have been reading the book of Psalms. It's been almost 2 months. I don't know if you recognize it or not, but if you look at my sermon titles a few weeks, it starts like a we. With Psalm 19, we praise the Lord. In Psalm 20, we trust God. In Psalm 26, we will bless the Lord. Psalm 33, we give thanks to the Lord. And today, Psalm 46, we belong to God. It's all we series. If the Lord allows me, it will be like next week will be our last Psalm series. And then we worship you, God Almighty, something like that, from Psalm 47. And also, we look at the Psalm 3 and Psalm 16 and different titles over the months. I pray that all these studying on Book of Psalms will nourish your spirit in your heart, so that we will love our Lord more, and then we'll be like Christ. That's my goal. Today our text is from Psalm 46. Before reading our text, one more thing I want to share with you. Next month, which is October, we would like to study on the Reformed faith. So it'll be like a scripture alone, faith alone, Christ alone, grace alone, and glory to God alone. So it's all sola series based on Reformation history. So please remember that and pray for me. Especially faith alone, Alan will be preaching on that topic. So continue to pray for him. Before we reading our scriptures, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us here before your presence. And thank you so much for giving us your holy words in front of us. Thank you for revealing yourself through us, through the scriptures, so that we might understand your amazing grace and your salvation plan that you have spoken to the prophets and people in the Old Testament, even the New Testament. Lord, only one thing we want is to worship you and to remember our Lord Jesus Christ and give thanks to him. In our service, we want to focus on Jesus Christ, Christ alone. So help us as we are looking at all the verses today, help us to focus our hearts on Christ. Fix our hearts on Christ, nothing else. As I'm going to deliver your word also, please help me and just use me as your instrument. Nothing else, just instrument. So then the congregation and I will be in your honor and glory and experiencing your presence at this morning, Lord. We pray your son in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 46 starts like this. To the choir master of the sons of Korah. And we'll be talking about that later, according to Alamoth. Alamoth is a literal meaning is maidens, so or young women. So it might be the name of the tune or musical setting. John Calvin understood it as an instrument or beginning of well-known hymn. We're not sure what it is, but it starts like Alamoth. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord and how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes words cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of God. Let's look a little bit about introduction to Psalm 46 as we did all the Psalms that we've been looking at. Now this psalm is we see the song of Korah, and the songs of sons of Korah. It starts like this, and we wonder, Korah, who is Korah? Now the first appearance of Korah is in Exodus, book of Exodus, in chapter 6, and one of Levi tribe person, and then they led a revelation against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and they accused their leadership, Moses and Aaron's leadership, that's recorded in Numbers 16, chapter 16, verse 1 through 3. So starting is no good. So Moses called at the tent of meeting, and meeting together in the presence of God, and then all of a sudden the earth opened and they swallowed them, all the rebels. These people. So it's kind of a scary story. And the fire consumed about 250 men who were offering incense in front of the Moses and Aaron. It's not finished, the story from Exodus, Numbers 16 and Exodus. And after their death, the Israelites complained about their death. And then they said, Moses, you know, Aaron, you kill them. So God tried to destroy the Israelites because of their complaint. But because of Moses' prayer, God relented his judgment on them. But Bible records number 16 and says about 14,700 people, Israelites, died at that time. That was a lot of people died. So that's about Korah. The Korahites, the whole the tribe, were known as temple singers. That's their famous title. In 1 Chronicles 6, it says, David, King David, put them in charge of service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark was brought to Jerusalem. It's a very special job before God. Those they are singers. It also, 2 Chronicles 20 says, the singers during the celebration of Jehoshaphat's victory over, you know, Moab, they sang, they praised the Lord. So I guess they are good singers. And also Psalm 42 and 44, 9 and 84, 85, 87, 88, it's all about their psalms. Even the interesting thing is the First Chronicles 9 and 26 tells about their job as doorkeepers, gatekeepers of the temple. And 1 Chronicles 9, they are bakers of sacrificial cakes. So they did a really good job taking care of God's temple, singing, praising, and protecting God's temple. Those are Korah. Now, this psalm is written by Korah. Now, Psalm 46. Some people say that this is a song of Zion based on the verse 5. Zion means where God dwells, God stays. So Zion means God is taking care of the world from that place. Similarly, like 48, Psalm 76, 84, and 97, all these psalms are related to the Song of Zion, God's dwelling place. Based on verse 5, it says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Since God is with us, no one is able to move us. And God will help her when morning dawns. God is our helper. You know, God is our rescuer. But unfortunately, some theologians disagree with them because there's no reference to Zion or Jerusalem in our psalm. That's a theologian's review. But anyway, we look at the psalm today, 46, like three different portions. Psalm 46 is musically fell into three units. If you look at the Psalm 46, there is a word with Korean people read Selah, but American people read Selah. Same thing in Hebrew. In verse 1 through 3 and 4 through 7 and 8 through 11, Now, each section is divided by the word Selah. That means interesting. That's a musical notation. So we don't have to read it when we read a Bible, or maybe we can read it when we read a Bible. It's happening 70 times in the psalm, occurring here and there. So very famous word. Now, its function is designating a pause, stop there. So it's in our contemporary music term, like a fermata in a contemporary music note, you will see a little bit in dot in our music note. So Psalm 46 is a song that the choir members are gathered together singing. In verse 1 to 3, singing and praising God, and also refrains happening in verse 7 and 11. It says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And happening two times. While the worship leader sings other verses. So this is a beautiful hymn. If we can imagine, people are gathering together and singing and praising God and responding together. It's a beautiful hymn. Now, in our Psalm 46, there is some repeating words we will see. The word war and nations, and repeated in verse 3 and 6 and 11. I'll tell you why these words are repeated here. The word earth is also repeated in verse 2, 6 and 8 and 9 and 11. Now here the psalmist sings the power of God and his salvation, his mighty work, while God's people are in the earth, while all the people are in earth are afflicted. So the psalmist is saying that, you know, you're living in earth, but God is the one who are controlling everything. That's why roar, nations, earth, those words are repeating. And also the word help, you will see in verse 1 and 5, God is our only help. We've been looking at other psalms that only God is our help. Not chariots, not spears, not sword, not everything, but only God. And also the word totter is happening in 2 and 5 and 6. And verse 2 and 5 is translated as move. So we are not moved and no one can move us. But in verse 2, it also mountains be moved. And verse 5, it shall not be moved. It's a different translation. So by looking at all these words, we see that the psalmist, what psalmist wanted to say to us, although you and I were living in this world where lots of problems and challenges, or sometimes natural disasters, including fires and other horrendous incidents happening to us or to our friends. Now this psalmist declares that, you know what? All this happening in your life, God is our refuge. In other words, we don't belong to the world, but we belong to God. So this psalm is a psalm of confidence and faith. It strengthens our faith in God. So I will say this psalm is a psalm of confidence. As I mentioned, I'd like to divide this psalm in three different units. The first one is verse 1 through 3. I will say this one is, we belong to God in the context of disasters happening around us. Verse 4 to 7 will be, we belong to God in the context of nations' rage and crisis. The last one is verse 8 through 11, we belong to God so that we proclaim the works of God. That's my outline today. Now, we belong to God in the context of unexpected disasters and everything around us. That's verse 1 through 3. Now, verse 1 starts with a powerful declaration and a proclamation. It says, God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. The psalmist does not explain what happened before, but at the beginning of the verse 1, just starting with, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Now, actually, verse 1 is repeated in verse 7 and 11, we will see. Verse 11 and 7:11 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The same wording in the same expression, and God is our refuge and strength. So psalmist opens with a sense of confidence in God. It's starting from God, not starting from the world and something else. That's why the author of this psalm is repeating all the words, and the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So I can say that verse 1 is a theme verse of Psalm 46. It helps us to look at this psalm, what the psalmist wants to say to us. But think about this one. Yes, it is right, we can say. God is our refuge and strength. We know that. And God is with us when we are afflicted. We know that. So by reading verse 1, that's enough. Yeah, that's fine. Verse 1 is enough for me to take today home and to live in this world. It's enough to comforting our broken hearts and our broken relationships right now. But interestingly, the psalmist, his confidence in God goes further in verse 2 and 3. I can say rather extreme in verse 2 and 3. It says, though the earth gives away, though the mountains be moved in the hearts of the sea, in verse 3, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains trembles at its swelling. Wow. Can you draw any picture of all the sins the psalmist is describing here? You know, earth gives away, mountains be moved, and waters roar and foam, mountains tremble. It's at the end of the world. Can you imagine all these things happening right now at this moment? Now maybe it would be possible for you and me to trust God. Trust God. Yeah, I will trust you are my refuge and my strength, and I will trust in you to have faith in God's presence. Lord, I love you. You can say that, but yet it is not easy, maybe impossible for us to completely trust God when all these things are happening. Now, in the context of natural disaster, we know that fire is happening all the time around us. What about earthquakes? What about mountains tremble? What about the tidal of waves of seas and sweep the earth and comes to the Spokane and just sweep us? It's very possible for you and me to pray for God's salvation when it happens to us with all these horrendous natural disasters. But realistically speaking, we don't have time. We don't have time to declare that, like the psalmist said, when all these things are happening to us, God is my refuge and strength. But we see that the psalmist did it. He praised God in the middle of all kinds of disasters. That's based on his confession, based on his faith in God's protection. And we know that the language in Psalm 46 is like a poetic expressions. The earth gives away, the mountains be moved, and the water roar and foam. These are all poetic expressions. But we need to see that the psalmist wants to sketch in verse 1 through 3. Our confidence, our faith in God is not rooted in anything of this world. But our faith and our confidence is strongly rooted in God and His promise, His covenant of protection from the Bible. That's where the psalmist is driving us today. Our faith is not rooted in money and something that we have right now, other things that we have, but our faith, our confidence must be rooted in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins while we were sinners, as Paul said. We know that God declares us righteous in Christ. That's our faith. That's our confidence. That's why we can say, if something happened to us, as the psalmist says, verse 2, we will not fear. So the psalmist is talking about, where is your confidence? Where is your faith? My faith is in God and His promise of protection. Therefore, if something happened to this earth, I will not fear. In verse 2. Although the earth gives away, although the mountains tremble, although we lost everything what we have, although some horrible things are happening in our life, we will say, we will not fear, because God is our refuge and strength, because our faith and confidence is from Him alone. So my question is, we know these things through our brain here, but can we really confess and say it like that? In whatever situation, God is my refuge and strength. Can we actually believe that God's protection for us every time, or God's protection is always sufficient? The reason that I say using the word sufficient is John Calvin's he said like this. From Psalm 46, what we learn is God is sufficiently able to protect His own people. Mount Spokane is collapsing and doing something, but God is sufficiently able to protect you and me because we are God's people. And John Calvin says, continues saying, whatever may happen, they are never overwhelmed with terror, but rather gather strength and courage sufficient of God's saving grace. That's right. Whatever may happen to us, maybe grieving over the death of our loved one, maybe losing our jobs, or financially struggling every day. Maybe we can see broken relationships we have. Maybe we cannot see our future at all. There's no hope. There's no tomorrow looks like it. But we are very confused because we don't know anything about God's plans for us. But at that moment, although we are surrounded by all these things, because we have a faith and confidence in God, we will be able to say, we will not fear. Surely God's saving grace in His mighty work is sufficient. There's sufficient ground to believe God's protection for us. We belong to God in the context of nation's rage and confusion. That's my second point. And verse 4 starts like this. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Lots of things we can get from this verse. In the middle of all kinds of horrible things happening in our lives around us, the psalmist sings for God's presence with us. That's verse 4. And verse 4 says, the holy habitation of the Most High. And even verse 5 says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Now here Psalm is trying to bring our attention to God. If we are looking at the world and happening things around us, just take our attention to God and don't look at the things that are happening around you. That will discourage you. Don't look at the people around you. That will destroy you. Don't be scared of what happened around you, because those are not based on your faith. Do not worry about all things, but only lift up your heads and see who God is. See who is holding your life. See who is with you right now. The holy habitation of the Most High, and the God is in the midst of in her, and she shall not be moved. You would not be moved. And also the psalmist says that there is a river. When you're staying inside of God, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That's an interesting verse. Here the word streams gives us an image of peace in God's presence, even God's city. Now, Calvin talks about the meaning of the streams in verse 4, like streams are not river, like a big river or a sea, but it's like a small, tiny, but powerful enough to satisfy God's people. That's Calvin's explanation. And he says, a small streams of a river would afford to the holy city abundant cause of rejoicing. I agree with him. We understand what John Calvin wants to say to us through the verse 4. Compared to the worldly things around us, nations rage, injustice, and other violences we see every day. We are not attached to all these things happening around us, but we are attached to God's grace, the streams of God's grace. So that's enough. Compared to the riches of the world and money and success and power, all things out there happening, we don't care because we are attached to God's grace. The streams of grace is enough for us, although it's small, but it's big, huge for us. We are in God's city receiving God's grace. Although those waters are not like a sea or like big river, but it's small, tiny, but it's enough to bring us peace and glad. That's what the psalmist wants us to say. In the city of God, where God's stream is there, we enjoy God's comfort and peace and satisfied with the streams of grace. Somehow by reading verse 4, I thought about our church and any other churches. It's interesting. Ellen gave me a book. I forgot the title, but I read it this week. But it's about preaching. And it's about Bible preaching, not one-man show, what, not a movie watching, something like that. But it says, Bible, we need to find out a church where Bible is seriously preached. And I thought about that. That's right. If we are God's people, if we love the Word of God, we need to go to that church. And then I believe New Hope is that church. We take Bible seriously, and we're seriously learning about what God says from the Bible. Although this church is small, tiny, and God's grace in us, God's grace through us, that's enough for us. We are satisfied, the streams of grace in our church. Now, it's interesting to read how Calvin understood verse 4. When he says about verse 4, he says, our faith is really and truly tested only when we are brought into very severe conflicts, and when even hell itself seems open to swallow us up. Actually, that's what's happening in verse 1 to 3. That's what's happening. Then what about us, you and me? Where is our faith and confidence when we are severely tested or afflicted? It can be disease, or it can be an accident happening to us. It can be a spiritual depression that we have, a faith struggling that we have. It can be sins of our nation. Can we say, among all these things happening to us, can we say, we shall not be moved, we will not fear? That's what John Calvin says. This is about testing some. Do we see God's presence with us when we are severely distressed and afflicted? How about this question? Is really God's grace enough? Maybe we have nothing in our hands, but we have Christ in us, who is the living water. In other means, is it Christ enough for you? Brothers and sisters, what makes you today trouble your heart today? What gives you difficulties today? This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Can you do that? We rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Somehow, Romans 5 is related to the Psalm 46. Because we have Christ with us, we can say, like what the psalmist said in 46 and verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us, with me. Therefore, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Therefore, we will not fear. When we look at the world, and things are happening in the world, even around us in our country, surely we think and we say there is no hope and there is no future. And we are confused by what's happening around us. But God's word is saying to us, listen to verse 6. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. Nothing in this world can steal our faith and break our relationship with God. And nothing can steal our peace in God. The sovereign God who created the heavens and stretched them out is with us and will surely protect us. Then what shall we do? Since we know that God is with us, God will protect us from our sin. Then what we will do? That leads us, verse 8. And come, behold, the works of the Lord, verse 8. God's protection is not a myth, but it's real. So the psalmist invites the people of God and say, hey, come and behold. Behold means see in Hebrew. Behold the works of the Lord in verse 8. Come and see that God is the one who controls the world and everything, the nature and everything. He makes words cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. God is one who will do everything. Come and see what God has done in the history of the Israelites. He is the one who departed the water to rescue God's people. In the Red Sea story. He is the one who provided a pillar of fire and cloud. We know the story. He is the one who sent quails and manna to feed his people. He is the one who established the covenant with God's people. And he is the one who will surely save us and protect us from our life and dangerous things around us. And come and see that what God has done for his people, including you and me. He is the one who sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to rescue us from our sins. He is the one who revealed himself to us through the scriptures. He is the one who will always be with us. And as God of Emmanuel, therefore, come and see. The Psalm 46 is talking about all things happening. What God is, who God is, and come and see. And in verse 9, finally, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We know that God is above all, Ephesians chapter 1:21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Do you believe that? Our God is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is King of kings and the Lord of rules in Revelation 21, verse 16. The King, Jesus Christ, gave up his life and everything to come down to the earth to save us, to rescue us from our sins. Can you imagine that? If then, if he gave up everything and come down to save us, how much more will our Father in heaven do more to protect you and me and to deliver us from this world and what's happening around us? Surely God is our refuge and strength. Surely God will protect us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, the covenant God, is my God and your God and our fortress. Brothers and sisters, Psalm 46 concludes with a challenging question for contemporary Christians. Can we declare to the world and the people in the world like this, come and see Jesus Christ? I know that our Sunday school is learning about the book of Hebrews. And in chapter 1, verse 3, it says about Jesus Christ, He is the radiance of the glory of God. Can you say to people, He is the radiance of the glory of God? Come and see the exact imprint of His nature, and that He upholds the universe by the word of His power. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. Come and see. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is our Lord. Come and see. Having become as much superior to angels as the name of He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Come and see. Can you do that? What about that? When we are severely afflicted and it seems there is no way to get out, there is no hope, no future, can you say to that person, come and see? God will rescue you. God is protecting you. Brothers and sisters, Psalm 46 is all about God's protection. Whatever happens to us, the mountains tremble, the seas roar, even we face the terror of death right now. We will not fear, because the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The simple word is, we belong to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for giving us another psalm today, a psalm of confidence. Lord, we confess that sometimes we trust the world and what we have, and we trust ourselves. But this psalm teaches us about our faith and our confidence. It's not from the world, not from us, but from You. Lord, would You please help us to understand? Would You please bless us to have that faith in our hearts? We pray Your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.